Welcome to Positive Path, a podcast ministry of Unity of San Antonio. Reverend Nina Clark, our senior minister, extends an invitation for you to join us in person on Sundays at 11 o'clock. Unity of San Antonio is a progressive spiritual community where everyone is welcome to attend and serve. We have many opportunities for you to get plugged in, including an active youth and family ministry, classes and workshops, fellowship after church, and many more fun events throughout the year. For more information, check out our website at unityofsa.org. Now, let's get into this week's message.
So, the universe knows that it's very important to me that our teachings are useful in our lives. In my humble opinion, we'd be better off playing peewee golf or peeling the labels off of a soup can on a Sunday morning if what we teach doesn't in some way enrich and enhance our lives. So usually when a talk unfolds within me, it has some sort of sequential order that has a beginning, a middle, and an end, because I kind of feel that if I'm going to stand up here and talk to you and invite you to listen, then what I say should at least make sense. And having things unfold in an order can be useful in relating our teachings in a way that is useful to you. But I kind of think the universe has a sense of humor, because for whatever reason, this week, instead of a beginning, I was given five seemingly separate strands and asked to pull them all together and make sense of them. So I'm going to invite you to join me on a bit of an adventure as I take these five threads and weave them together. Wish me luck. The first thread is the amazing human being, Dr. Martin Luther King Jr., whom we will acknowledge, celebrate, and commemorate tomorrow in cities around our country, I hope, because I know so many parts of our country are snowbound. But we're going to do so as people of all backgrounds take to the streets, both in honor of him and the work he did, and to keep alive his dream of a nation that works for all of its peoples. And you can see a picture of him on the slide behind me delivering his now famous I Have a Dream speech during the March on Washington in 1963. And as you all well know, Dr. King worked tirelessly for equality and justice. And as his story is well known to us, and my time limited this morning, I'm going to turn my attention to another man who, until quite recently, stood in the deep shadows of obscurity in our history. And if you look at that PowerPoint slide again behind me, you'll see him just behind Dr. King. He's the man wearing glasses. This man's name was Bayard Rustin, and he is our second thread. That 250,000 person demonstration that Dr. King delivered that history-making speech at was organized in less than 2 months by Bayard Rustin. Have you heard of him? Like three people. I hadn't heard of him either until I watched the Netflix movie that was produced by the Obamas, released late last year. Eleanor Holmes Norton, Washington, D.C.'s delegate in Congress, who, while in law school at Yale, worked under Bayard during the organizing of the march, said, "Without Bayard, there would not have been the march. He was pushing to have that against everybody else who was in the NAACP, in politics and government at the time. He was pushing against everybody to get this to happen. So without Bayard, there wouldn't have been the march. And without the march, there wouldn't have been the movement. And without the movement, there wouldn't have been the 64 Civil Rights Act and the 65 Voting Rights Act. So if that march was so important, and if Rustin was so important to the march, why do most of us know so little about him? Because Bayard Rustin was an openly gay Black man. And because of this, he was relegated to working only behind the scenes because of how the gay community was perceived at that time. But he didn't let that stop him. In addition to organizing the March on Washington, Bayard helped to organize the Southern Christian Leadership Conference, which helped to strengthen Martin Luther King's leadership and was also instrumental in many other civil rights efforts. He was deeply involved in humanitarian missions, including aiding refugees from Vietnam and Cambodia, and he also did missionary or mission work in Haiti. Bayard had a strong interest in nonviolence and pacifism, which came from his grandmother, Julia Rustin, who was a Quaker. Rustin was raised by his grandparents, and his home was frequented by people such as the NAACP leaders like W.E. Du Bois and James Weldon Johnson. These men were frequent guests in his childhood home, and with these influences, he became an activist at a very young age. Because Rustin so passionately believed in equality, human dignity, the unity of the human family, and peace, he traveled to India in 1948 to learn techniques of nonviolent civil resistance directly from the leaders of the Gandhian movement. And it was Rustin who convinced Dr. Martin Luther King to embrace nonviolence as a tactic. And he has been credited with the phrase that I'm sure is familiar to many of you, speaking truth to power. And after his death, 26 years later, after his death, he was awarded the Presidential Medal of Freedom. The third thread is a woman named Polly Murray. How many people have heard of her? Yay, one person. I hadn't heard of her either until a few years ago when I was fortunate enough to catch a documentary about her. It turns out that most of us have never heard of her. This amazing Black woman who was a civil rights activist, a pioneering feminist, a labor organizer, a lawyer, and a talented author. Regardless of her job description, Polly was a teacher and a catalyst, someone who wanted to educate people and to lead them out of ignorance. Born in 1910, Polly was a leader in the fight against racism and sexism. She was a founding member of the Congress for Racial Equality and the National Organization for Women, and she is credited with having laid the intellectual foundations for both the civil rights and feminist movements. She was a woman who wouldn't take no for an answer. Barely 5 feet tall, her motto was, "Don't get angry, get smart." For every no she received, she found a courageous and creative way around it, under, or through it. She was educated at Hunter College, Howard University, University of Berkeley in California, and she became the first Black woman to earn a doctorate from Yale Law School. As a legal scholar, she wrote states' laws on race and color, which Justice Thurgood Marshall referred to as the Bible for civil rights lawyers. And Murray's final law school paper, written while she was still a student at Howard University, was the basis for Marshall's winning argument before the US Supreme Court in the pivotal 1954 Brown decision. Then attorney Ruth Bader Ginsburg named Polly as a co-author in Ginsburg's brief for her landmark Reed versus Reed victory at the Supreme Court that gave women more control over estates. Polly's thinking was ahead of her time. She was also California's first Black Deputy Attorney General, and in her 60s became the Episcopal Church's first Black female priest. And she too refused to give up her seat on a segregated bus 15 years before Rosa Parks did the same thing. And Murray did all of this and so much more. I could have talked for an hour about this woman. while struggling with issues of identity. Her whole life, she described herself as feeling like a male living in a female body. She ultimately used her private feelings of being in between to publicly contend that identities are not fixed, an idea that has powered campaigns for equal rights in the United States for the past 50 years. Murray died in 1985 and has since been named a saint by the Episcopal Church. Yale University named a new residential college for her, and her childhood home in North Carolina was named a national treasure. More threads. The fourth thread is our five unity tenets or principles. The first one is, there is only God. There is only one infinite something. There is only one ground of all being. And the second tenet tells us that being that there is only God, this only one infinite something, only one ground of all being, then we must be of it, for there is nothing else for us to be made out of. And the third of Unity's five principles tell us that our thoughts and beliefs have power. We create our own reality through our thoughts and beliefs. And because our minds are one with the creative mind of God, we have the power to create our own experiences by the activity of our thinking. Everything in the material world has its origins in thought. Or as Rumi puts it, we are one. Everything in the universe is within you. Everything that you want, you already are. Tenet four is, I pray. And the message is that if you individually want a better life, take the time to cultivate a better you, or a you that is in alignment with the life that you'd like to lead. And tenet five says, if you want any of this to make a difference in your life, then get to work. Make it real in your life. And the fifth and final thread is a quote. It's described as an interpretive translation from the Talmudic texts, and it reads as follows. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. All right, I want to see if we can pull these all together. Oprah Winfrey said, bravery shows up in everyday life when people have the courage to live their truth, their vision, and their dreams. And I think that this is true of each one of the individuals that I shared a little bit about with you today. I shared with you some nuggets from the lives of three human beings, Martin Luther King, Bayard Rustin, and Pauli Murray, all of whom for me exemplified living from their source. They were one with that one power, and they each opened the door to its full expression as them. Each one had a deep spiritual life, and they refused to listen to any of the voices that would sway them from the path set forth from within them. They lived on purpose. They constantly worked to become a clearer channel for that which was within them to be expressed fully, authentically, and courageously. And when I look at their personhoods, who they were and how they approached life, I know that these tenets were alive in them on some deep level, phrased differently perhaps, but alive in them. They listened deeply to and acted upon that still small voice within them with courage and determination and bravery. Do not be daunted by the enormity of the world's grief. Do justly now. Love mercy now. Walk humbly now. You are not obligated to complete the work, but neither are you free to abandon it. Each one of these courageous souls knew that the work would not be completed by them, and that didn't stop them. They each knew that they were not free to abandon the work, to carry the torch as far as they could and hand it to the next people waiting. And I think our five tenets of unity speak to this as well. It's so easy to be distracted by the grief of the world. But like these brave souls, we can choose to continue to be lights by living these tenets into our lives, by doing justly now as expressions of wisdom, by loving mercy now as individuations of love, and by walking humbly now as expressions of peace and oneness. We are not obligated to complete the work, but we are also not free to abandon it. And finally, each one of these individuals' lives remind me that living from our God self doesn't mean that challenges won't happen, but instead that we will meet them differently if we meet them from this authentic place of knowing ourselves. And so I think that for me, these individuals add another layer of encouragement about unity's five tenets. I am inspired and reminded by them to use these principles, to wrestle with them, to argue with myself about them, to interact with them, to get them down into the marrow of my being, to plant them, to water them, to breathe life into them, because we are worth the effort. And so is our world. So let's support each other by bringing these tenets to life in our lives. Let's know and repeat and affirm to ourselves and each other the truth of who and what we are. Let's see God when we look at each other. Let's see spirit when we look in each other's eyes. Let's see that infinite all that is expressing in that person in front of us. Let's strive to become clearer channels for the divine to express through and as us. There is a power in each one of us that can do good in this world, in whatever way is ours to do it. Poet Pavritha K. Mehta tells us, "Live like the roar in the cave of the lion's throat. Live like the mustard seed that is dropped into hot oil, ready to explode its flavor into everything. Live like the wick in a candle, flickering, fierce, and alive." New Thought teacher and minister Reverend Michael Beckwith said, "Soulful success is becoming more of ourselves year after year. It is catching the vision that's planted within us and allowing that vision to be the impetus for greater and greater versions of ourselves that reflect and reveal the infinite nature of our being." We are literally building our world together. What and how we choose to express influences those around us. The ways in which we show up make a difference. And we do have a choice. And to that end, little plug for the abundance class, I encourage you to join in. You can do it from home on Zoom, or you can meet here in person with other people. It's a rubber meets the road opportunity for us to live our largest lives, whatever that looks like, in every arena of our lives. And that betters us and the world around us.
Thank you for listening today. I want to invite you to check out our Positive Path Meditations. You can take a listen anytime you need to recenter and realign. Have a wonderful day.